to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we're happy. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy. That's a quote from a sermon from a pastor at the largest church in America. The absolute largest Christian church in America is making this statement. Now, it sounds good. It sounds interesting, and I want to be happy. Today, we're going to talk about a worldview you've probably not heard of before. It's got a really big title and a lot of really big words that break down pretty simply. Maybe. There we go. It's called Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. Basically, it says God wants people to be good. God wants us to feel good. And anybody can call on God when they need something. In other words, the universe revolves around you. Most people who follow this don't actually call it this. It's more of kind of a lifestyle or a philosophy. You want to know how they discovered this? In 2005, a professor from a college in North Carolina polled 600,000 teenagers and college students. He said they don't really have a religion per se to speak of, but these 600,000 teenagers and college students that I interviewed in the church were not Christians. So here's what they came up with. Here's the five doctrinal kind of statements that they did. They came up with from these students. Number one, a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. Number two, God wants people to be good and nice and fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. Number three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And number five, good people go to heaven when they die. Tell me if you've heard any of these. My actions affect only me, and my truth is all that matters. Have you heard that before? Nobody? Okay, just me? Got it. All right. What about do whatever feels good? What about what's most important is right now? Maybe you haven't heard that one. Maybe you've heard it this way. YOLO. I got a response. Here we go. So, being popular or seen brings happiness. What about I need to be true to me? Sewing on a t-shirt. Okay. Hi, Malachi. I'm glad to have you. What about this one? If people see me as beautiful, I have worth. Or what about, this is my favorite, just follow your heart. You hear that in the movies. It's like the title of every Disney movie ever. So, let's define this moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic. Here's what they said. There is a God. He doesn't really mess with our daily lives. His main focus is that people do good and are nice to each other. It places a focus on being nice or good or nice often with an emphasis on self-improvement, physical health, and meeting one's potential. Not too bad. Therapeutic. Every time I hear this word, I think about therapy. So here we go. God exists on standby to help people solve their problems. This is a quote from the book they wrote after the study came out. This is not a religion of repentance from sin, of living as a servant of God, of steadfastly saying one's prayers, of building character through suffering, of basking in God's love and grace. Rather, what appears to be the actual dominant religion among U.S. teenagers, that would be you guys, is actually centrally about feeling good, happy, secure, and at peace. It's about attaining subjective well-being, being able to resolve problems, and getting along with other people. Deism, here we go. God made things, but stepped back and is only involved in your life when and where you want him to be. And again, a quote from the book. This God is not Trinitarian. He did not speak through the Torah or the prophets of Israel. He was never resurrected from the dead and does not fill and transform people through his spirit. This God is not demanding. He actually can't be, since his job is to solve our problems and make people feel good. In short, God is something like a divine butler and a cosmic therapist. He's always on call, takes care of any problems that arise, professionally helps his people to feel better about themselves, and does not become too personally involved in the process. So, to summarize moralistic therapeutic deism, be good, feel good, live your life. I sound country? I had to run shoes on. So here we go. Paul actually warned us about this multiple times, but I've given you two. Colossians 2:8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Isn't that so true of how we function today? Like, if people don't say things that we want them to say and we don't like what they say, we just don't hang out with them. Like, when the youth pastor sits up here and says something you don't like, you're just like, psh, I'm going to another church. It happens all the time, whether you believe it or not. So here we go. Here's where the issues show up. Mildly comedy. I'm seriously going to have to ban snacks if y'all can't not act like three-year-olds with the snacks. So, God wants to be involved in your life, okay? And literally, he doesn't send you a text message, but this is the message. He's like, I want to get closer to you. Can we meet somewhere? One basic premise of moralistic therapeutic deism is that God isn't involved in a person's life and doesn't need to be unless there's a problem. This approach leads to a slippery slope of understanding who God is and what he actually wants from us. We serve a God that's relational. The Trinity, God understands relationship from the very beginning of history. Genesis 1, let us create man in our image. Us, the Trinity. God says they're going to want relationship. Why are they going to want relationship? Because I want relationship. He created us in his image to desire relationship. Now, you've heard this before in church at least once. He's the only relationship that will ever fulfill you. That cute boy you're dating ain't gonna do it. Sorry. The girl that you can't keep your eyes off of, she ain't gonna do it. God is the only one that can legitimately fulfill everything that you need. And until you get content with that, you're going to be on an endless loop of unhappiness. So, one danger of living a life that doesn't recognize God's everyday presence is we miss what we were actually created for. The Bible teaches us that our purpose was made to give God glory, to show His glory, to talk about His glory, to praise Him, and to worship Him. Nothing about that has anything to do with me. Living a life with moral therapeutic deism denies why we were created. God's focused on more than just your happiness. If you go to the bookstore, I don't know if any of you guys know what that is, but it's a store where they got a bunch of these paper things. They're on shelves. And you walk in the store and you ask the lady at the counter, I want the largest section of books. What's it going to be? What?
Self-help.
The largest section in the bookstore is self-help. How do I make myself skinnier or prettier or smarter or whatever to be a better me? God says, hey, I'm okay with you being happy. What I really want is for you to be holy. Moralistic therapeutic deism declares that the purpose of life is to be a good person and to be happy. Happiness is the ultimate goal. And you can be happy no matter who you are, what you're doing, or what you believe. The problem with this is it denies what the Bible says about the greatest commandment. What does Jesus say is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Somebody asked him, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. So if I'm doing everything to make me happy, is it possible to love somebody else the way I love myself? No. Because I don't care what you think. I do not care what I say sitting right here and how bad it makes Tristan mad. Because I just want to make sure I'm happy. And as long as what I say makes me happy, I don't care if it makes you mad or Troy mad or Ethan mad or Alexi mad. I don't care. It sounds like a pretty crummy world to live in, doesn't it? I mean, we'd all be happy. Or would we? Because if I'm happy and you're not, are we all happy? No. The Bible teaches that God cares about more than just our happiness. He cares about our holiness, the way we live, and how we interact with people. He says there's more to life than just going around with you being happy. It's about making other people happy. Mariah, do you love Troy as much as you love yourself? More? Wow. What did you say? Ouch. Seriously, like one of the hardest things you'll ever learn to do. Especially with somebody you don't like. Like, do you have any idea how hard it is to love somebody like you love yourself when they sleep through your sermon? Good point. Maybe he's tired. But it is. It's hard because I'm like, I just want to strangle you. It's hard. It's hard when you talk to the message and I'm trying to teach. It's hard when you say things that I don't like for me to be like, you know what? It's okay, I still love you. You know why that is? Because I love me a whole lot. It's really hard to love somebody more than you love yourself. Very, very hard. The key to that is understanding that the world doesn't revolve around us. It doesn't revolve around our happiness and our comfort. Nobody in this room would say, I want to sign up for the hardest life possible. That's not going to happen. But the existence of hardship does not prove that God doesn't exist. It just proves that God is constantly saying, I want you to rely on me. I want you to trust in me that I have your best interests at heart. Because if anybody really does love you more than you love yourself, it would be Jesus. So, just being good isn't good enough. So, why good without God isn't good enough. So, MTD, short, moral therapeutic deism, their emphasis on morality totally misses the important biblical teaching about morality. See, MTDs fail to take sin seriously. Okay, they hang out in kind of that like Buddhist and Islam type mentality of, hey, whatever's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. But the Bible says, hey, there's a deeper problem. We've got to pay attention to that problem. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, it says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. Our very nature, there's a natural sin problem that we have to address. Everybody. MTD morality also misses the heart and the regeneration that Jesus offers. So because at some point, we've got to look at our sinful nature and say, there's got to be a solution to this. And not only is there a solution to it, but there's got to be a new motivation for our morality. Not just being good to be good, but being good for something. We're given it in Titus 3, 5 to 8. It says, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we'll inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. So there's got to be a point where we say, I trust in God, and because of that, I'm going to do good. Not, I'm going to do good, and hopefully that'll get me right with God. It's not possible. Also, MTD ignores the costly aspect of the Bible. See, in MTD, since self defines morality and not God, there's no sacrifice that has to be made. If it's going to bother me, if it's going to hurt me, if it's going to cause me pain and frustration, I just won't do it. The Bible tells us, Luke 9, 23, Jesus is talking. He said, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Give up your own way. Take up your cross, a.k.a. die to yourself. And follow me. And we've got to live in humility. Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. The assumption that good people go to heaven means that there's also the assumption that bad people need to be punished. But like most of the other religions we've studied, who decides this? Who sets the standard of what's good and what's bad? See, at the core of this MTD problem is that we're working our way into heaven and it's not relying on Jesus. The problem with this picture is it's the belief that our human nature is naturally good. And the Bible says that's not the case. The Bible says the heart is wicked above all else. So as we look through the Bible and read that in our natural state, our nature is sinful. We look at Romans and we realize that all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We realize that there's got to be a solution. And that solution is not, be good. You'll get there eventually. So we go back to the five key points of MTD. And we realize that biblical Christianity, not worldly Christianity, not Aaron's Christianity, but biblical Christianity has problems with all five key points. See, there's not just that a God exists, but the God of the Bible who revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you don't honor Jesus as God, you're not honoring God. Number two, God doesn't just want people to be nice, but he commands that they obey him. He's the one that defines good and nice, and he calls sin sin and promises to judge it. Number three, the central goal of life is to give glory to God. A byproduct of that might be that we feel good about ourselves, but it's not the goal. Number four, our primary goal as believers is to constantly be in tune with God, following his leading and in daily fellowship with him. We're to pray without ceasing. And number five, no one is good enough to go to heaven. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. No one is good enough, and that's why we need Jesus. He lived the perfect life that we could not, and he died to pay for our sins so that we might be made acceptable to God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. It works out like this. Sitting in churches all across America tonight, sitting in youth groups all across America tonight, are people that call themselves Christians. But at the center of their religion is not a holy God. It is an unholy, fallen human being. See, they believe that God would never send a good person to hell. They believe that they can call on God as soon as they're in a trial, but once they're over that, they can push him back to the wayside and live the life that they want to. Most of these people that sit in churches on a Wednesday and a Sunday rarely read their Bible, rarely go to church, rarely pray, and actually believe that they're mostly a good person. You want to see what the Bible says about that? Good. We're going to either way. Matthew 7:22-23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, watch this. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. There comes a point where you can go to church to try and make God happy, and that ain't going to cut it. Because what you do here on a Wednesday does not reflect what you do out there on a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday and a Monday and a Tuesday. So you're not actually faithfully following Christ. You're appeasing the little bitty God in the sky and serving yourself. See, following Christ requires much more than living a simple, nice life. It requires sacrifice. So we've got to believe in a Creator that has a better plan for our lives than what we do. Some of y'all, that is going to mean sacrificing an hour or two of your favorite Netflix show. Some of you, that may mean changing the type of person that you date. Some of you, it may mean reevaluating your relationship with your parents because you don't honor them the way God has asked you to. But we're called not to live to make ourselves happy, but to make God happy through our holiness. So I ask this, is this your God? Not the bell, but the bell that you press when you need God and send Him away. Is that where you sit? Driving down a car, red and blue lights start flashing. God, please don't let this guy give me a ticket. I've prayed that prayer, I'm just saying. But as soon as, you know, the cop shows up and gives you a ticket, so you drive away. That AMF, so you rung the bell. The butler didn't show up, so now he said, forget you. Or you get that phone call. Hey, we just found out your grandma isn't doing too hot. You might want to come to the hospital. God, please don't let my grandma die. You hit that bell when you need him and you send him away. Or is this your God? There we go. Revelation 3:20, it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with that person and they with me. So we have dinner and we eat with people that we like, with people that we have a relationship with. I don't call the bully from high school and be like, hey, bro, you want to have dinner? Like, that doesn't happen. So like if I, in the terms of the Bible, if I break bread with you, it's because I like you. So do we fellowship with God and have a relationship with Him? Or do we ring the bell, get what we need, and send Him out the door? Because at the root of this, it's not really the bell. It's not really that your God is a butler. The root of that is that your God is you. So are you serving the God that created you, or are you serving yourself? Whatever decision you make and what you do with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Either he's just a guy, ring the bell, give me what I want, or he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's worthy of our honor and our worship and our service. We're going to pray. We'll go into small groups. God, we're grateful tonight for who you are and for your sacrifice. God, tonight I pray that each and every one of us would really evaluate who it is that we're serving. God, in every aspect of our lives, God, from the moment we get up in the morning to the minute we go to bed, who it is that we're serving. God, I pray that we would strive to be better. We would strive to be holy and let our happiness be a byproduct of that. I thank you for what you've done tonight, what you're going to do in small groups, and what you're going to continue to do in the hearts of everybody in this room for the rest of the week. We pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen. All right, y'all head off.